Welcome to Hype episode 92. This is the weekly entertainment podcast from hypebo.com for all of your news and reviews and information and discussion and general hilarity. Am I selling it too high, guys? I don't know. We'll meet the bar. It'll be fine. My name is Marama, and I'm joined this week by Pam and Kristen. What's up?
Hey,
everyone sounds so enthusiastic.
it's going to be the best show ever. What are you talking about?
That's what I like to hear. Yeah. Positive thinking. Okay. So we have some fun news this week. We have some trailers, actually. It's kind of trailer heavy. So that'll be fun. We'll be talking about that. We've got some J.K. Rowling news, as always, Gilmore Girls, because never give up. And speaking of never give up, guess what I've been doing this week? I think we should just jump straight into how we hype. The West Wing Weekly, guys. The West Wing Weekly. Like, I'm aware that you talked about this last week, but I will take any excuse to turn any podcast I'm on into, like, a West Wing podcast. So let's just all take a minute to appreciate the fact that, like, this is so unprecedented. I don't understand why people aren't more excited about this. If you maybe missed last week's episode, The West Wing Weekly is a podcast that's been created by Josh Molina, who starred on The West Wing, and a friend of his who's like a podcaster, and the two of them together are like doing a rewatch of every single episode. The clue is in the title. They release one each week, and they've just released the pilot episode, which I listened to yesterday, and it's so good. And like, Josh Molina's still, he's on Scandal. Like, he's not doing things. It's not like he's some tired actor, you know, desperate for, I don't know, recognition or something. So it's just crazy. I really, really enjoyed it. Kristen, have you listened to this yet?
I haven't listened to it yet. It's on my to-do list. I've had like three books to read in the last 2 days, but I am so geeked to get into this. Like, I listened to the 1 minute long, like, first glimpse at an episode because it was like episode zero when they were really just trying to get buzz, and it just got me excited. So yeah, I will be listening to this weekly as soon as I can dive in and get the first one under my belt.
Yeah, those little hypeable trivia that you may not know, Kristen and I were part of a very short-lived West Wing rewatch on another podcast that we used to do.
We tried really hard.
Yeah, we were doing it with a couple other staffers and they were not so into it. So like, whatever, they have terrible taste. But this is amazing. I'm very excited about this. So yeah, I listened to that yesterday. Also saw Batman vs. Superman a few days ago. Have you guys seen it yet? No.
Okay. It's not out here yet. Oh, you're sorry. Too cool for us.
Oh, sorry. Time zones. Oh, well, it was a screening. But anyway, well, no spoilers. Don't worry, people listening. Won't spoil anything. Wonder Woman is awesome. Wonder Woman has the best theme music. Can confirm that. Hers is definitely the best. The rest of it, like, fan reviews have been very positive. Critical reviews have been very negative. So take from that what you will. I think, it is what it is. It's not my kind of thing, but it was a good time, I guess. Don't know. What a rave review. Anyway, Kristen, speaking of superheroes, what have you been up to?
Yeah, so pretty much the last 2 weeks have been Daredevil. Karen and I rewatched the first season to get prepped and ready for the second, and we mainlined the second season in, I think, 2 days. It's awesome. Second season of Daredevil is fantastic. The storylines they have for Karen and Foggy are beyond great. And everybody knows that the Punisher is going to be involved, and his storyline is fantastic. And his interactions with the main three, with Foggy and Karen and Matt, it's so, so well done. If you haven't checked out Daredevil yet, I highly recommend it, as I do pretty much any of the Netflix Marvel series. And yeah, just basically, it's so, so, so good. And it just reminds me of exactly, it's so different from some of the other Marvel TV properties, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and even Agent Carter are a little, you know, happier, they're a little more kitschy and fun, whereas the Marvel Netflix is like gritty and real, but without losing that little spark of Marvel. So if you haven't checked out Daredevil, I suggest you do it. And there's a ton of Daredevil coverage on Hypeable that is fantastic. There's an article all about Karen and why she's the best character of season two. And it's, yeah, true. So, so, so true.
Awesome. I am definitely going to check that out next week when I have some time off. I'm super, super excited because I love Daredevil and I just like forget about it, I guess, because, you know, it comes out all in one hit. So that will be good times.
Yeah.
All right, let's jump into the news. Before we do that, of course, you can get in touch with us if you want to talk about anything we have discussed this week or say hi or send us a funny YouTube clip. I'm just saying, like, you know, no one ever sends us funny YouTube clips. Seems a shame. You can tweet us. We are at Hyperbole Hype on Twitter. We are also at Hyperbole Hype on Instagram, which sometimes we use. It's like a fun surprise for all of us.
Yes. Yeah, we'll be using it this weekend.
Hey.
Teaser.
Ooh,
I'll be using it.
Fun times. I'm taking over.
Nice. I love Japan takeovers. I love them.
Yeah. It's going to happen. It's going to be a good time. You might see some familiar faces. Oh. You might see some cool stuff.
Oh, I don't even know to what you're referring, so that'll be fun for me too. Okay, if you want to send us an email about Pam's Instagram takeover or anything else, we are hype@hyperbole.com. And of course, you can always leave a comment on this podcast post on hyperbole.com. And while you're at it, why not leave us a review on iTunes? Because, you know, that would be a nice thing to do. Okay, back to my favorite lady, Wonder Woman. Super nice of her to share her movie with Batman vs Superman, but she's got her own one coming out in 2017, and we had our kind of first look at it this week with an image that was released in EW of some of the Amazonian warriors. Now, what does everyone think about this image? Like, what are we feeling? Is it awesome? Is it super badass? Any problems?
Well, I'm sure that you'll have some problems with it, but yeah, I thought they looked pretty fierce to me. It looked pretty fierce in my book. I think that we shouldn't judge based on, you know, the cover, so to speak. So I'll reserve judgment till later. Mm-hmm. But I'd love to hear what you have to say.
Well, I think like, you know, I only just saw this morning, but I think what people seem to be having issues with it is the image, but also the comments on it from the director. So she says that like Wonder Woman is wish fulfillment and she wants Wonder Woman to be hot as hell, fight badass and look great at the same time. But that, and the costume designer says, you know, the armor should be authentic and real and appealing to women. But like, this is super appealing to men. That is exactly how this is being designed. And, yeah, you know, I definitely think Wonder Woman obviously has a different kind of costume to male superheroes, but like that's because it's written within a context that's very objectifying for women. And it's kind of a shame, I think. Like she is obviously the least clothed of them all, you know? So you're kind of like, just again, it's not like super practical. It looks badass. It looks awesome. But,
I think we should have expected this though, because her outfit in like Batman versus Superman, like she was already pretty. It's very similar to that, you know. But I think that I'm just like the wrong person to ask about this, because like I feel like if I were like gonna go fight crime, like I'd probably want to do it in wedges too, because one, I would be taller, so I would intimidate more people, and two, you know, I don't know. It just like that whole argument, like I'm not talking about like the clothes, but I know people like take offense over like shoes and like you have the whole like heels argument. It's like some people are more comfortable one way and some people are more comfortable other ways. So I don't know. Well, I'm a bad feminist.
I think it's like if you have the costume designer saying we want to make it practical and then you put them in heels, like that's an issue. You know, because it's that's like super disingenuous. Like, just say you want them to look good. Like, that's what you're going for here.
At least she's not in stilettos, because that would be unrealistic. Like, that's all I'm gonna say. Mm. It could always be worse.
Yeah, I mean, Kirsten, do you have any thoughts?
I mean, if you're choosing armor specifically to protect yourself, you're not, I don't necessarily think you would choose wedges. I don't know. It just, since she's like first and foremost a warrior, like that's kind of her thing. I just think it probably should be a little more like war battle practical. I don't know. Well, I try to reserve full judgment till I see it like in the movie and see how it functions and if, you know, if it seems to hinder her or seem ridiculous to the movie. But I mean, the picture's badass. And it reminds me a little bit of like Asgardian. It's kind of got that thing to it. Like it's very monochromatic and gold and yeah. So I don't know. It's touch and go for me. I'll see what it looks like on screen.
Yeah, look, obviously I'm going to see it. This is like one of my most highly anticipated movies. I have been waiting to see Wonder Woman in her own film for like literally my entire life. So I'm very excited about this, but you know, you can't say, which is what they try and say in this, oh, well, like Batman and Superman are like impractically large, therefore it's the same thing. Like it's not the same thing. It's 100% not the same thing. And it's female director and she obviously knows that. Like she's not an idiot. So it's totally different societal context. Let's just be super clear about that. Like if they want them to be like this, it's because they think they look good. They've cast like all these model-esque people who look amazing, don't get me wrong, and they want to sell tickets. And apparently the way to do that is to dress women in as little clothes as possible. So that's great. Also, we're going to move on here, but another thing to mention is people have been pointing out they are all white, which are like all look very similar. So, you know, again, this is a very early look and we don't know exactly what all of the Amazons will be like, but I think people are hoping maybe there'll be some diversity in there too, especially if there's all of this focus on like yay women. Hopefully it'll be yay all women. So we'll see how that goes. Of course, we're not seeing that until 2017. More superhero controversy, this time over on the Marvel side. Disney and Marvel have said that they will stop filming in Georgia if this anti-gay bill will pass, which is this bill that allows faith-based organizations to discriminate against homosexuals. And, you know, we know that these really big studios film in Georgia because of the tax breaks. So, like, I think The Hunger Games filmed there and, like, lots of studios go there to film. But this is, like, a really big deal if Disney and Marvel have to go find somewhere else because, yeah, they've got a lot of things in production. So I don't know if you guys have any thoughts on this, but, you know, it's a pretty big story, so we thought we should mention it.
I think it's huge when you have these powerhouse production companies that are saying, you know, like, we're going to pull out. I know that I'm not sure if it's changed yet, but I think I read earlier today that AMC, which is like the big one because they film Walking Dead there every season, that, you know, like they don't agree with this. I don't think they've gone so far as to say they're going to pull the whole production out yet. But I mean, Disney pulling out in and of itself, Viacom, like these bigger stars like Anne Hathaway signing petitions to say that like they are going to refuse to film there. That's like a big deal because that's a $1.7 billion a year industry for Georgia. So that's a lot of money that's like coming out if they choose to do this, but it's a very interesting situation. I'm curious to see what comes of it because I think that it's just I've been reading up on it and it's just interesting to me, but yeah, we'll see.
It's refreshing for me that Disney is willing to put their foot down and say, we're not doing this. Like, I was kind of surprised that they did. I'm glad they did, because this is ridiculous. And I'm currently living in North Carolina. That won't be the case forever. But, like, they just passed a very scary law last night and ran it through in 24 hours so that nobody could fight it. And they signed it into law that it basically nullifies all of the non-discrimination acts that have gone through before. So yeah, this whole area of the country is kind of in turmoil. There's a lot of people very upset about what's going on. So I can only hope that if they're going to do this in Georgia, that they also do it in North Carolina, because a lot of films have shot here. I know Hunger Games shot here, and, you know, it's the same stuff. It's the same type of discrimination that it's ridiculous. So, yeah.
Yeah. Craziness. It's like you said, it's great that they have, like said, they'll boycott. Slightly surprising from Marvel, especially.
Oh, right.
Not exactly super pro. Anyway, maybe Civil War will change all that. Who knows?
No, but it is. You're right, because usually these bigger companies, like, they don't really like, they care, but to an extent, like, not to an extent that they're going to go somewhere more expensive to film their features.
Right.
And
exactly.
Stuff. So. That's why it's huge. And it's just like, from a law perspective, it's like a sticky situation all around. And, it's like, it's really just more of like, where do you draw the line between separation of church and state? And that's really what it all boils down to. But I think the fact that, these bigger companies are really taking it seriously, speaks, volumes. And, it'll be interesting to see if they actually have an effect on what happens, because, you know, usually people are like, oh, like Hollywood, just like, don't stick your nose where it doesn't belong. But they might actually be the ones to turn this all around.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, they might actually affect change this time.
Exactly. Because it's a lot of money that's coming out, like a $1.7 billion. It doesn't seem like a lot, but it's like a nice chunk of change to have.
It does seem like a lot. It sounds like a lot of money.
No, but I mean, like, I don't know, like, in comparison to, sure, like, how much they make a year, like, I don't know, like, the exact, like, revenue of the state per year, but yeah.
Yeah. We'll see. Yeah, we'll see what happens with that. Definitely a like, huge story, you know, politically, entertainment. We'll keep covering that on Hyperbole and update. Okay. What have we got next?
I was going to say, from one pretty huge story to one that definitely rocked some people's worlds, Dylan O'Brien, I believe this was last Thursday or Friday, Dylan O'Brien was injured on the Maze Runner set. It was a crazy afternoon, because Karen and I were doing laundry, and all of a sudden we're at the laundromat, and she gets a text message that he was, like, run over by a car. And we were like, what? Because, of course, TMZ reported that he had been run over by a car on set and was, like, rushed to the hospital, and nobody knew what was going on. Shortly after, more information came out. Fox made a statement, and then later Wes Ball made a statement. Dylan actually had fallen off the back of a truck that was rigged to look like the back of a train car. And when he fell, he hit his face somehow. And it sounds like broke bones in, like, his eye socket somewhere in there. He's recovering. Wes Ball said that, you know, they halted production until he can heal and return to set. So it'll be a few weeks before they can pick up again. But Wes Ball kind of put out a statement and said, you know, he's being a real trooper through this, and, you know, he's a tough cookie, I think is what he said. And so, yeah, he's doing fine, but it was a very, very scary, like, 24 hours while we found out what exactly had happened. And yeah, craziness.
And no one could get the story right. This was,
yeah.
I read like five different pieces. I'm like, what happened to Dylan? And I could, right. Like, you know, hours later, they were like, oh, we think it might be this, but it could be that.
Well, and it had happened the day before, and they had been able to keep it quiet, but TMZ made it sound like it had happened that moment, and, like, he was being rushed to the hospital, and, yeah. So, nonetheless.
And life support and all that good stuff. Oh, yeah. TMZ. Good old TMZ.
Yeah, it was just crazy. But, yeah, if you want to read exactly, like, what their statements were, check out hypebull.com, and we also had an article all about all the, like, fan... all of the, like, Hollywood support, so there's a whole bunch of his friends that had tweeted at him or, you know, voiced their support. So if you want to check that out, make sure to do that.
Cool. So in lighter news, we're going to move on to happier things. I know we started really bleak at this show, but we got our first look at the Lego Batman movie, which I know a lot of people are super excited about. So all of this kind of started when we got our first stills from the upcoming feature, and they all kind of feature Batman front and center, and he seems to be living a pretty, like, awesome but also lonely life in his man cave. And the images are super, super fun. So if you haven't checked those out, you should go over to hypeable.com and do that. And then today we got a trailer for the film, which is just really funny. And, you know, Batman's talking straight to the camera and he's doing a little beatboxing and just being everything you would expect Lego Batman to be. So this just looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. I don't know if you guys got a chance to check the trailer out, but if you haven't, you should do that. And the film's going to come out February 10th of next year. So we still have a little bit longer to wait, but it's probably going to be worth it.
Do we feel like this like is going to work for a whole film? Like, can they prolong this joke for an entire film and still be funny?
I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see.
I was going to say, I think my favorite part of the trailer is that they like sit there as he's microwaving his lobster and like he just starts whistling, and I don't know. We'll see. I mean, the Lego movie did pretty well. So, you know, if they can make it work for that, maybe this will work as well.
Yeah,
we'll see.
I liked the Lego movie and I really enjoyed the Batman sections in that. I liked how he was sort of a really ineffectual hero, you know, when he was just kind of a bit useless. So that was fun. But I'm somewhat skeptical of like how well this will go for a whole film. But then again, that's because we haven't seen, you know, any plot or anything. So that's the trailer was just...
But he looks so...
Yeah.
He looks so stoked on life and like all of these images. He's just smiling and happy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's Will Arnett who does the voice, right? Like he's great. And the cast of the Lego movie was like weirdly awesome as well. So yeah, we'll see. I'll totally go and see this. But yeah, it's always, you know, like spin-off things, whatever. I feel like I'm thinking a little too hard about the Lego Batman, but anyway, whatever. That's fine. We like to analyze things closely.
That's very true. Yeah.
Sticking on the trailer bandwagon, we also got a trailer for Deepwater Horizon, which comes out this September, I believe, September 30th, and stars... Mark Wahlberg, Dylan O'Brien. It also includes Gina Rodriguez, Kate Hudson, John Malkovich. There's a whole bunch of people in this movie. And it's basically, if you were a Newsroom fan, you probably know way more about this than you ever thought possible. But it's about the oil rig that...
the BP oil spill?
Thank you. Oh my gosh, my brain's not working.
So good.
But yeah, no, it's, we hadn't really heard much about it. We knew that Dylan had been cast. We knew Mark Wahlberg was leading it, but this is our first look at it. So we got a whole bunch of stills as well as a trailer. And it still doesn't exactly like tell us how they're going to tell the whole story, but we did get a look at just about everyone. We got a chance to see Mark Wahlberg and Kate Hudson as like husband and wife and their child. And he clearly works on the rig, and you got a glimpse at Dylan in the trailer, and there's, you know, still a bunch of characters that we haven't seen in action, but they're in the stills. So it's just basically kind of exciting. We all want to see what this movie is going to be, like how serious it takes itself and exactly like how they decide to tell the story. So if you're keeping an eye on it, it will be out September 30th in cinemas. And yeah, just getting excited.
Oh, why am I such a downer this episode?
What?
This trailer was so bad.
Not into it?
No, it was so obnoxious. The little girl telling the story and like the same things happening. You're like, oh, we all know what happened. Like, God.
No, I feel like this is going to be the equivalent to, what is that, the 33, the Chilean minor movie, where like I'm probably just going to cry. I cry at like almost every movie.
I'm a crier.
I'm a crier. Yeah, and I know there's going to be a moment, and like that violin's going to start playing, and I'm just going to be over there like, I'm not crying, what are you talking about? There are no tears.
Yeah, it'll be something with the girl as well, like the little
girl.
That's
my prediction.
Yeah, what? Okay, well, that's the thing that's happening if you're into
exactly,
it.
Exactly, exactly.
Okay, well, I'm ready for this one.
Next story, we'll take a look. Okay, are you? Okay, cool. So I'm sure a lot of people are ready for this because we are coming back to Bridget Jones's world with Bridget Jones's Baby. We finally got the first trailer for the upcoming rom-com, and we get a good look at Bridget. So we get Renee Zellweger in there. We have Colin Firth in there, which I know makes Marima very happy. And we also have McDreamy himself, Patrick Dempsey, coming back to the big screen. So this movie just looks like it's going to be so much fun. And, you know, Bridget's pregnant. So she'll be dealing with that. Not really sure who the father is. Could it be Colin? Could it be Patrick? We won't know until the movie comes out. Apparently she, like, they wouldn't even tell her, because I read in an earlier report that they filmed two different endings for the movie and they haven't decided which one they're going to put in yet.
Really?
So she doesn't even know. Yeah.
Wow. Who knew security was so tight on Bridget Jones?
I got Bridget Jones's baby.
Wow.
Eat your heart out, Marvel. I know. Game of Thrones ain't got nothing on Bridget Jones.
Yeah, for real. We all know Jon Snow's coming back. Maybe, is he the father? Is Jon Snow the father?
Oh my God, plot twist.
Plot twist.
I mean, there's this really great scene at the end of this trailer too, with like Emma Thompson's the OBGYN. She makes her like do the what is it, like the baby, like the baby
consultation or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah. For both of them. And she's like, oh, the first time is so great. It's amazing.
I can't remember if when this was announced, if I thought it was a good idea or a bad idea, but like, I am so excited for this movie. The Bridget Jones movies are actually like genuinely really, really funny. And this trailer like totally captured that. It's just going to be ridiculous. I'm very, very excited.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So that's coming out in September. And yeah, apparently Merriman and I will be heading out to see that.
Yeah.
Kristen too, maybe? Are you
into
this?
It's been so long since I've seen the Bridget Jones movies. I'm like, all right, yeah, I might need to do a rewatch before I go see this, but I'm totally on board.
I mean, wasn't the last one out in like more than a decade ago?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Making me feel my age now. Oh, dear.
All right, well, let's move on before you feel any more old. We've got some casting news for you guys very quickly. First off, we never pass up a chance to talk about Ready Player One on this podcast. Then we have a little bit more casting news about that. Simon Pegg has joined the film, and he is going to be playing Orjen Morrow, who's kind of like the friend of, you know, the guy that creates the Oasis in here. So that's going to be interesting to see. I don't know if like, Kristen, have you read this book? I feel like we made everybody that like became a regular host on the show read this book.
I have not yet. I have it on my Kindle. I just have to find time for it. Every time I think I have time, someone sends me another book to review and I'm like, gosh darn it. All right, I will fit this in. So yeah, it's on my list. I promise. I will get it read before the movie comes out.
Very, very cool.
You're going to have to bump it up the list, Kristen. Like, this is important business on Hype. We had a special about it. Pam, was that our first Hype special? Ready Player One?
Yes.
I feel like it was.
Yes, because I think my first show with Hype, I talked about how I was reading this. Like, I was almost done with it. So it's like, it's been a journey.
It has been. It, what a magical journey we have been on. Today.
We have.
In the
almost
past.
A year ago.
That's ridiculous. Okay, well, Kristen, you have to read it so that you can be part of the club. I feel like this is good casting. So this guy was the co-creator of the Oasis. And I mean, I guess he's a little younger than I had kind of imagined. But now that I'm thinking about it, I think I just assume like, everyone looks like Gandalf if they're like an older kind of,
right,
you know, whatever person. I'm just like, oh,
because there was
it's
that,
Ian McKellen.
Well, there was that also like Gene Wilder was rumored and he's like older now too. So if you're thinking
right,
like, oh, like you would
maybe
be about the same age.
When that happened, I was like, oh, I didn't realize he was this old. So, you know, whatever. It's very,
probably.
Yeah, that's cool. I like this. This cast is going to be really good, I think. I'm assuming that a lot of the adult actors are going to be, like, bigger names than their kids. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. So, yeah, we'll just have to see. And then we do want to, I don't know if I mentioned this, but we want to reiterate that this is, like, he's in talks to sign, so he hasn't, like, officially signed yet, but here's hoping. So we'll probably get more news about that soon. The last bit of casting news we have for you guys today is like the WTF story that like swarms the internet this morning. Apparently Paul McCartney has joined Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales. And we don't know what he's going to be doing in this movie, but apparently like they've like finished filming and he's coming in to film a scene that they're going to plug in somewhere,
during the feature, so that'll be interesting. No news yet on whether he's going to play a pirate or, you know, somebody else. But what do you guys think about this? I think this is hilarious. I think it's great.
This is the best story I've heard this week, 100%. Like, they've just run out of actors because, like, Keith Richards was in this as well. They're just like, well, right, we've cast all the people we want. I guess let's just get some sort of old, forgotten musicians to be in it. Well, Surely they've got time.
To be fair, he makes sense because, you know, Johnny Depp always said, like, like my Captain Jack is based off of Keith Richards' mannerisms. Right. So I don't know about Paul McCartney.
Well,
but,
so that's like, hey, who's been listing Paul McCartney as their, you know, inspiration for their character?
Exactly.
Like, I'm wondering if Paul didn't just make a phone call and say, I want to do this, and you just don't say no to Paul McCartney.
Yeah, so they're just writing a scene.
Like,
maybe he's just a really big fan and he's just like, hey guys, can I just get in on this? And they're like, sure. All right. I mean, why not?
Now that he's collaborated with Rihanna and Kanye, the sky's the limit, you know?
Oh, so true. Right? So true. Man, he's grasping his lost youth, isn't he? It's a little sad, really.
Oh, I love it though. But yeah, like you guys said, you don't say no to Paul. So whether you like this or not, you're going to get it.
That's great. I love this.
And Dead Men Tell No Tales is coming out May 26, 2017. So going to have another year to go before we get to see Paul McCartney in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Craziness. Well, from what we're expecting to what we've already seen, we've all seen Deadpool by now, pretty much. And that opening title sequence, which is one of the highlights for a lot of people because it was so unexpected and crazy, we found out that it wasn't necessarily supposed to look like that. Originally, when they created the title sequence, they threw in all of those like placeholders for people's names, like that chick and like the hot chick and stuff like that. They stuck all of that in just before they had even cast the movie, to just kind of hold its place so they could add names later. And when they ran it for the producers and whatnot, they just liked it. They thought it was funny. They thought it fit the movie, and they were like, we need to keep this. So yeah, we have just the fact that they hadn't cast the movie to kind of thank for the ridiculous opening credits for Deadpool.
That's fun. I like that. That was actually part of the best part of that film.
Right?
Yeah. Which is, that's a shame
like
to say.
It's kind of random.
Yeah. I mean, that's a little bit sad that they didn't plan it in a way, because I was like, oh, that's so clever that they did this. I guess it's clever that they left it in. But that's fun. I like finding out these little things. So we started.
That story's pretty awesome.
Yeah. We started depressing and then we got a bit exciting with Bridget Jones, and now it's back to like a bit of sad news. Man, hype just takes you on a roller coaster. Okay, so first of all, obligatory Harry Potter news, sort of. We found out that J.K. Rowling might never be publishing that political fairy tale that she's been talking about for about a decade. So we heard about this back in 2007. You know, she kept saying, like, she's writing this political fairy tale. It's going to be this, like, you know, whatever. We were thinking, oh, cool, like something Harry Potter related, but, you know, like maybe that whole fantasy thing, but something different. This is really fun. Now she's saying she doesn't like it enough to publish it and it's in a drawer. So I'm super sad about this actually, because, I was always really interested to see what she did with this. I would love to see her do like another non Harry Potter, like children's or like a fantasy or something. You know, I get that she wants to do different things, but yeah, I think this is kind of a shame.
Sometime in the near future, she'll pull it out of the drawer and give it to an editor and fix it. Because, you know, like, I don't think it doesn't have to be a done deal just because she doesn't like it right now. Maybe she'll find some inspiration down the line to kind of fix it up and make it something better. But it is disappointing because we were all really excited about it.
Yeah, this was way better than Stephanie Meyer's Time Traveling Mermaids idea. So I hope that she pulls this out of the drawer at some point.
Yeah,
that would be great. And because you know, the thing about Rowling's like children's books is that she doesn't like dumb it down for kids, which is like what I have always really liked about her work. You know, so it's it would have been nice to see her highbrow take on something like this.
Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like we're missing out if she doesn't publish it, but we'll see. Okay, so one more story. I mean, yeah, kind of bittersweet to finish up the news. So we've been very closely following this kind of Gilmore Girls controversy with Melissa McCarthy. Yes, being invited to be on the revival. No, not being invited. And there was this back and forth about how, you know, she hadn't been invited, but Amy Sherman-Palladino was like, she's not available. So now we finally found out what happened. She said that she didn't get asked to do it, but she thinks that they thought she was busy. Then by the time they realized what happened and it did actually come up, she was actually busy. So, you know, no like huge drama or anything, unfortunately, just a miscommunication, but they're still filming it. Like she could still go over. I would be so sad if she's not at least in this for like, you know, one cameo, like one scene or something. I feel like that would be so, so sad because this is such a big part of her career. And like, she was such a big part of that show. So sad times, but at least we finally got to the bottom of it.
I'm just saying, if there's going to be a wedding, who's going to make the cake?
So true.
Oh my gosh.
Do you think they're going to do it like a really awkward thing where like Lorelai's always on the phone to her, but you like never hear, or she's like, oh, I just got off the phone with Suki and blah, blah, blah. Like, you know, it'll probably be all like this off screen stuff.
Probably, but I feel like that would break all of our collective hearts.
I would agree with that. Yeah. That's sad. Oh, well, anyway, so that's what's going on with that. Hey, good time to plug our Gilmore Girls special if you haven't listened to it, where we talk about season one. That's a thing we did, and it's actually online now, so that's fun. And at some point we'll do season two. I think I'm the one holding that up. I need to rewatch it still.
Exactly.
That'll be another project for next week. I'll just go back and forth between Gilmore Girls season two and Daredevil season two. That would be an interesting combination.
It balances each other, sure.
Yeah, I'm not sure about that. But anyway, all right, that's it for the news. So if you have any thoughts about any of this, of course, let us know in the comments. Tweet us, Instagram us, email us. We would love to hear about it. And let's jump into TV show of the week. I haven't watched anything, so I can pass. Kristen, you wrote something down. What have you been doing?
So, yeah, I decided that I needed to talk about Gotham because last year, sometime in January, I kind of given up on the series. It hadn't kept my attention, and I kept forgetting to watch it. So I was like, it's not worth it. But when I moved in with Karen in July, I picked it back up again because she's a really big fan. And it's been fabulous the last couple of episodes. Like, it's finally gotten into a groove. The villains are the best part of that show. And if you're watching the show for the heroes, it doesn't necessarily work out for you as so well. But the villains are really amazing. I loved Oswald Cobblepot. He's still on the show, but he's going through a bit of a change. He plays someone who will eventually most likely become the Penguin. But lately, Edward Nygma is just amazing, and his storyline is finally kind of coming to the forefront, and he's the master manipulator, and he'll eventually be the Riddler, and we're starting to get hints at the Riddler. Like, we've gotten the green question marks in the last few episodes, so it's just really fun. So if you're not watching Gotham and you have an interest in the Batman villains, give it a shot. Pick it up again. Try it again, because I think it's starting to kind of find its groove.
Oh, that's good to hear. Because, yeah, I remember people being like, it's real slow when it first started. And I definitely did not get into it for that reason.
It was trying to be dark. It was trying to be, like, gritty and real. And they kind of accepted that they were a little bit, like, quirkier than that. And the show, I think, is doing much better now that they kind of embraced that. So,
Nice. And, Pam, you haven't been watching anything?
I've just been catching up because traveling, you know, puts a damper on TV. I did catch up on Quantico though, and that's going really well. So Merma, when you have time after your studies are done, you should catch up because it's getting even more and more intense by the episode. And that's all I'll say about that.
Okay. I don't know how many episodes behind I am, but like I'll add it to the list. God, I have so many things I need to watch. It's just becoming ridiculous. I actually just made an executive decision that like I'm just not going to be watching this season of House of Cards. So I've just made my friend tell me like as he watches it, he gives me recaps of like what happened because I'm like, I need to know, but I just can't be bothered dedicating the time to watching it. Is that being a bad fan? I don't really care. Okay. So yeah, maybe next week I'll have something to talk about in TV show of the week. It's been a bit of a crazy week. Let's jump into some listener feedback. So first of all, one for you and me, I think, Pam. We've got an email here from Ning who says, I recently caught up with a month and a half worth of episodes, and I think you guys were talking about female-led TV shows. I was wondering if any of you watches Madam Secretary. I'm super in love with Elizabeth McCord and how she deals with the crisis of the week. Her husband and staff are pretty awesome too, and I would love to hear what you guys think about it. Well, Pam, we've talked about this, right? Have we talked about On Hype? I can't distinguish anymore.
Yes, I don't think so. I think we talk about it amongst ourselves. Right. And how we love Madam Secretary, and I love Eric Bergen, and Eric Bergen's in it, so I watch, yes, you know, for that reason. But also because Elizabeth McCord is great.
Yeah, 100%. I am not like a super dedicated watcher of this show, but anytime I catch it, I watch it. So like, you know, I definitely miss out on things in between. What I love about this, and like what I always say when people are like, but we're like, what? Like, contrary to like The Blacklist and like every other show, almost every other show starring like a strong, quote unquote, strong female lead, she's like really supported by her family and her husband in particular. You know, I feel like these, it's a very rare show that shows like an actual mutually supportive relationship between two adults, which is really nice to see. Versus often when you have shows depicting women in like high positions of power, they are like being undermined by like their husband who's secretly a Russian spy or like whatever. So yeah, I really, really appreciate that, that aspect of it. Kristen, do you watch this? I mean, I'm assuming yes, because it's a TV show.
No. I don't watch it regularly. I have seen an episode or two. I think it used to be on at the same time as something else I watched. Who knows what? But I have seen a little bit here and there. And what I've seen seemed really good. So, you know, there's always a possibility I'll catch up on it at some point.
It is, by the way, you guys, for anybody listening, it is on Netflix too. So it's a good place to catch up on, you know, all the shows that you may have missed. But yeah, it is really fun. And it pulls you in right from the get-go. And like Merma said, it is refreshing to see, you know, like she doesn't necessarily have to pick between like her, you know, she still has a family life and she's also like helping run the country. And that's really refreshing as well. So lots of nice different dynamics on this show.
Yeah, that really, really fun. Okay. And now we've got an email from Rebecca. Pam, did you want to grab that one?
Sure. Rebecca M says, hi guys, longtime listener of High People Podcast. The first time writing in, just wanted to tell Kyle that I do watch The Bachelor. I'm right there with you. Also, I hadn't heard of the 100 before, or the 100. I think that's how we're supposed to say it, right?
Yes, we're going to get that. You guys mentioned
the 100 before you guys mentioned it on High Football Podcast. One day while I was surfing through Netflix, I see that they had the first couple of seasons. I remembered you guys raved about it, so I checked it out. All I can say is I am hooked. I haven't finished season 2 yet because I got my boyfriend to start watching, so I'm rewatching season 1 with him. He likes it too, and he normally doesn't go for CW shows. I can't wait to finish season 2, catch up on season 3. One last thing for Pam. I'm a Walking Dead fan too. So is Kristen. So that's like for both of us. This is great. My boyfriend and I love the show. High People needs a podcast for that show. Just saying, wink, wink. Thanks for a great podcast. Well, Rebecca, maybe Kristen and I can humor you with a special or two. Maybe.
Most definitely at some point here.
We shall see what we can do.
There you go.
I would definitely be on board with that.
I mean, who doesn't want a special about whatever, some random show that I hear people are a fan of? I don't get it. Whatever, zombies.
We're the special genies, you know, we just grant all the wishes.
Yeah, this pretty is much true. Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, ask and you shall receive.
Exactly.
Okay, and
now Kristen, for more 100 fans, that show's amazing. So thank you. Love it. Yes.
Well, and Kristen, you've been on all those specials for the 100, right? Like that Selena's been doing? So make sure you check those out if you're, you know, fan of the show or just like catching up on it. Although I think you have to be like up to date with what's happening because they're like for the episodes that are airing now.
Yeah, the specials we did were for season 3. So yeah, once you get caught up to season 3, to where we are now, check them out because we have a lot of really good discussion on there. So yeah, good fun. We have a comment from Tucker Conley, and he says, I'm with Kyle. I like The Vampire Diaries, but it seems like they stretched the show on too long with no intentions of stopping when they should. I haven't been a big fan of season 7. I wish that they had made minor edits to the season 6 finale and made it a series finale. I really liked it. Well, I'm sorry you haven't liked season 7. But yeah, it's been a bit of a adjustment for them without Nina. So, but I've so far liked season 7. So we'll see how it goes, and maybe they'll be able to draw you back in next year for what could be the final season. And I feel like we could say that every year now.
Nice. Okay, and just to finish up, we've got some tweets. Remember, you can tweet us at HyperbuhHype. First of all, Abby says, do you guys think Elementary's new night is a sign it's on the chopping block? I'm worried. Do either of you guys watch Elementary?
I don't, but Karen's different.
I don't either, but I know that it's on Sundays at 10, which is not necessarily like a bad thing because there are shows that are on Sundays at 10, but...
yeah. I feel like isn't the good wife lead in or something? Mm-hmm. I feel like the Good Wife is the lead, which isn't bad.
The Good Wife's also ending, so
yeah, true. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I think I saw it. Like, I do watch Elementary, but I don't watch it live, obviously, because countries different, etc. I think I saw it online though that the writers were saying that they hadn't. They were being very diplomatic about like, oh, we don't know yet. And like, whatever. It's not usually a good sign when they start bumping the time slot around, but it can be for a whole lot of reasons. So, I think they've got a reasonably good thing going with Elementary. Hopefully, we will see more of it. Okay. Shout out to Erin, who is listening to Hype to brighten up the morning. Happy to help out, Erin. We had a tweet from Stephanie who says, so I checked out Full Frontal with Samantha Bee and it was pretty great. The Trump supporter interview was disturbing. Their blinding smiles and enthusiasm couldn't hide that their eyes were screaming, save me from myself. I'm glad you enjoyed it. That segment is, I'm pretty sure it's on Facebook. It's like a very John Oliver type, segment, like those segments that go viral from Last Week Tonight or the kinds of ones that sometimes go viral from The Daily Show. So, if you're into political comedy and you haven't seen that, I would recommend heading over to their Facebook where I know it's on there and it's very, very funny. She like goes and interviews, a whole bunch of Trump supporters to like try and understand, you know, the appeal and she's great. So yes, I did watch that show this week. I mean, that's not really a TV show of the week cause I talked about it last time, but would still recommend. My recommendation stands on that one. And then finally, a tweet from Laura who says, I watched The Bachelor, so you're not alone. This is to Kyle, I'm assuming. My friends and I have made a bracket and I predicted the winner. What? That's crazy.
That's amazing.
That's wow. Nicely done. I mean, I feel like that's a bit, there's like a something about watching all of Unreal makes me like a bit disturbed that you're like making a bracket for a thing with human beings, but like that's cool, whatever. I feel like now I've seen Unreal, like I can't unsee any of this. You know what
right?
I mean?
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah. Meanwhile, when
and
is that
they
show
started
coming back?
Shooting this week too?
Oh, did
soon.
They?
Michael Brady tweeted a picture from set, and he was so excited to be on set, and I was like, oh my gosh! So. I don't know. They've got to be shooting now. So I don't know.
So exciting. So exciting. I actually cannot wait for that. Guys, I'm just flagging it now. There will definitely be a Hype special about Unreal, like when it's done.
Oh, yes. And now like everybody watches. So it's great.
Yeah.
It's going to be a good time.
Yes. So good. Okay. So I feel like that's it for Hype. It was a little bit of a lighter news week this week. So a little bit of a shorter show, but hopefully you guys enjoyed it. We'll be back next time with Hype episode 93. We are fast approaching that 100. Are we allowed to call it the 100th episode?
The 100th
episode. Now I'm so confused just about the English language in general. Like, which one do I say? So I feel like if you say the 100 three times, Selena appears to correct you. Like, you know.
I think she died.
Yeah.
Probably. Yeah.
Is that how that works? I think so. So, yeah, I mean, I guess, I don't know, we might do something fun. We might forget that that's happening. If you would like us to do something fun, maybe you can send us your ideas on Twitter. That's what we're fan sourcing this week. And, yeah, make sure to check out the Gilmore Girls special. Thank you to everyone who's been emailing in your Gilmore Girls thoughts. I have been seeing all of those in the Hype email account. Pam, I don't know if you've checked them out yet. And we are very, very grateful to everyone who's been putting the season in the subject line so that Selena can stay relatively spoiler-free. That's like super lovely of you. And we will definitely be reading those out as we get to the various seasons. Some people are up to like season 5 or whatever. So, you know, if you're watching it and you're on a different season to what we're on, that's cool. Just like send us an email with what you're up to. And when we get to your season, we'll totally read it out. And we'll see how it goes. It's good times. I'm excited to talk about it some more. I might have to listen to the special to see what we talked about last time, because it was
okay.
A long time ago. Oh, we get there. We promised no schedule. We just promised they would happen.
You know what? We are still good, because guess what? Netflix still has not told us when it's airing. So
true that.
We don't have to worry just yet.
Yeah. Yeah. No need to rush. Okay. So with that, we will see you next time. Until then, I'm Marima.
I'm Pamela.
And I'm Kristen.
See you guys next week. Goodbye.
Bye. Am I a robot? Hold on. Am I a robot?